Became struck with wonder after hearing about the wonderful administration of Maharaj Parikshit, especially in reference to his punishing the personality of Kali and making him completely unable to do any harm within the kingdom. Sutta Goswami was equally anxious to describe Maharaj Parikshit's wonderful birth and death. And this verse is stated by Sutta Goswami to increase the interest of the sages of Naimisharanya. And verse 2, let's do that together.
Brahma Loko Vita Yasu Dakshata Prana Viplava Nasanamo Raya Bhagavad Yardita Saya.
Translation. Furthermore, Maharaj Parikshit was always consciously surrendered to the personality of God, and therefore he was neither afraid nor overwhelmed by fear due to a snake bird which was to bite him because of the fury of a Brahmin boy. Purport. A self-surrendered devotee of the Lord is called Narayana Parayana. Such a person is never afraid of any place or person, not even of death. For him, nothing is as important as the person, the Supreme Lord, and thus he gives equal importance to heaven and hell. He knows well that both heaven and hell are creations of the Lord, and similarly, life and death are different conditions of existence created by the Lord. But in all conditions and in all circumstances, remembrance of Narayana is essential. The Narayana Parayana practices this constantly. Maharaj Parikshit was such a pure devotee. He was wrongfully coerced by an inexperienced son of a Brahmin who was under the influence of Kali, and Maharaj Parikshit took this to be sent by Narayan. He knew that Narayan, Lord Krishna, had saved him when he was burned in the womb of his mother. And if he were to be killed by a snake bite, it would also take place by the will of the Lord. The devotee never goes against the will of the Lord. And anything sent by God is a blessing for the devotee. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit was neither afraid of nor bewildered by such things. That is a sign of a pure devotee of the Lord. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sabrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Sam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapate Gopika Gopi Jashkanta Radha Kanta Namaste Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshare Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Sri Vancha Kalpataruvascha Kripa Sindhu Gayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gauravata Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadam Kulishu Krishna Prabhupada Vrinda Sri Sri Vrindata Vipura Parapara Pankajadaya Nipu Parapara Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadam Kulishu Kipati Vidanta Samadhyana Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaur Vrana Pacharani Hare Krishna, so today we're starting the chapter, the 18th chapter of this first canto entitled Maharaj Parikshit, chorus by a Brahmin wife. So to set the scene, most of you know, but just in case if there's anyone who doesn't. But Maharaj Parikshit, being a dutiful king, a Rajarshi, saintly king, very responsible to uphold Dharma, he would roam his kingdom and look out for any misgivings. So when he was roaming someplace in his kingdom, there's one sage by the name of Shamika Rishi, and he was in meditation. Oh, maybe the volume some more, I don't know. So, this sage was in meditation, and by the will of Providence, Maharaj Parikshit approached him, being very thirsty after traveling in the forest, and was requesting some water. So, Maharaj Parikshit, again, as we described, he's a very saintly person, very great devotee of the Lord, has full control over his senses. He can perform any austerities and don't fail. But by the will of Providence here, for some want of water, and he wasn't able to keep that bear the thirst, so he approached the sage. The sage was in meditation, didn't recognize that someone was here for him to attend to. And Maharaj Parikshit, again by the will of providence, did something that it's way out of his character trait. That as a dutiful king, a great Rajarshi, he had respect for everyone, even every living entity, every ant. And yet, he put a dead snake out of not getting this water, put a dead snake around the neck of his sage. So why would someone do such a thing? Such a great personality who respected everyone. We heard in the previous chapter, even Kali, he respected so much when Kali surrendered. He was so humble, so respectful, why he disrespected the sage in such a way. So the sage also had a son by the name of Sringi Rishi, a young boy, with developed Brahminical qualities and mystic power. But due to the influence of Kali, he didn't know how to use it properly. So what he did, he in turn, after he saw how his father was disrespected by this king, he didn't understand due to his immaturity, he didn't understand the value of this king, the greatness of the king, how much is the society dependent on him. But he decided to take revenge for his father's insult. So he cursed the king to die in 7 days. So this is the Brahmin boy that we're talking about here, Sringi Rishi. So it's described that this is the first influence of Kali, that Kali actually got a hold of, a handle of. And here is described that Maharaj Parikshit understood this very clearly, that this is the will of the Lord. So therefore he's not interfering with that activity. So Maharaj Parikshit is remembering how when he was in the womb of his mother, that Krishna saved him when Ashwatthama, shortly after the war, Ashwatthama was on the side of one of the only surviving persons on the side of the Kuravas, wanted to destroy the last leg of the Pandava dynasty, who was Maharaj Parikshit. He was still in the womb of his mother. And Krishna protected him wonderfully. So this word is here, Adhuta, that Krishna acted so wonderfully. So, like we also sing every morning, Tavakara Kamala Vare Nakam Adhuta Shringa. So, the Lord can act in any wonderful form. But there is something more to this word Adhuta. Not only does it mean wonderful, because there are so many people who act wonderfully that what we don't expect. There are so many people in the world that act wonderfully. But there's a difference with this Adhuta. It also means that one who is free or is away from sinful activities, or sinful activities is not in their personality or activities. So they act wonderfully, but not with any sinful activities. So this word in particular, according to the Sanskrit dictionary, has this particular meaning, which primarily applies to the Lord. Just like the word bhaj, and like bhajan, we sing bhajans that come from the root Sanskrit word bhaj, which means to worship. But to worship in a particular way, that to worship that is related only to the Supreme Personality of God and no one else. That's why you find, like if you hear they say that sage perform, or yogis perform meditation, but devotees do what? They perform bhajan. A meditation is only meant for the Lord. A worship is only meant for the Supreme Lord.
So like this, Adbhuta is particularly referring that the wonderful qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Lord acts in many wonderful ways, and sometimes many crooked ways also. You see, like how Krishna is standing in the street bending form, very crooked. His activities are crooked. His whole life, sometimes people, they don't know which ashram he belongs. His instructions, sometimes even Vilvamangala Thakur address him as Papa Chora. He steals even from the poor. Like in Chaitanya's pastime, he used to harass Kulavesha Sridhar every day. This poor man, Kulavesha Sridhar, was so poor that the only thing he was sustaining himself with was selling cups made from banana leaves, which is the weakest form of business that one can possibly think of doing. And every day Lord Chaitanya used to go and harass him, okay, give me a donation, question him, you know, like teasing him and have activities with him. So the Lord is like that. Sometimes his activities, we see, we're reading in the whole Bhagavatam, Krishna's activities. He's so crooked with the gopis, with the residents of Vrindavan. And still in Bhagavad Gita, he instructed us, you should be straightforward. How does that sound? So, and it's all acceptable because he's alert. So like that, so Krishna acted these wonderful forms. Like even when Prahlad Maharaj was being harassed by his father Hiranyakashipu, he finally, he can't kill Prahlad, he asked his wife, Sayadu, to poison him, and she had to do because she had to follow her husband's instructions, but by the will of the Lord, that turned into nectar. Prahlad was harmless. Then Hiranyakashipu himself, he said, well, okay, I'm going to kill him himself. And he got so frustrated and he asked, you know, where is your Lord? Prahlad said, he's everywhere. Then he said, oh, is he in that pillar? And Prahlad looked at the pillar, and there he saw Lord Nrisimhadeva in this wonderful form. And Lord Nrisimhadeva is indicating to him, okay, you know, and he was warming up, you know, like when you're ready for a wrestling match, you start warming up in the background, flexing his muscles and warming up. And he said, Prahlad Maharaj, so are you ready for this? And he gave him a thumbs up. Then Prahlad Maharaj told his father, yes, he's in the pillar. And so when Lord Nrisimhadeva struck that pillar, Hiranyakashipu struck that pillar, Nrisimhadeva came up. And Prahlad Maharaj is thinking, oh, such a wonderful form. And Hiranyakashipu is thinking, oh, who is this? Oh, what is this? So that's the difference with a devotee. A devotee can see the Lord even within the pillar, even behind the scenes. But when the Lord appears in front of a non-devotee, directly in front of him, they can't see. They cannot see. They cannot recognize. Just like the battlefield. Described Krishna was there, there were how many? 640 million soldiers. And only a few of them recognized Krishna as the personality of God. So that's the difference. So like that, when Prahlad Maharaj saw the Lord, it was such a wonderful form. So therefore there's this prayer. Om Amrim Krum Hatakatatka Keshwa Jalakpadoka Lochana Bhadratika Nakasparsha Divyasingan Masate. O Lord Nrisimhadeva, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you along with Lakshmi. Sometimes you fly in the sky and sometimes you move on foot. Either way, your mane hair glow with a golden brilliance. This appears in the Nrisimha Kavacha. The source for this prayer is unknown according to the Nrisimha Kavacha Stotram. But the prayer is dear, glorifying Lord Nrisimhadeva. Because in this fight, sometimes Lord Nrisimhadeva would be flying up in the sky, sometimes he would be moving on foot. And his mane hair, because he's half man, half land, he has hair around his neck, the mane. So like that, very wonderful. So Maharaj Parikshit was appreciating how the Lord is acting in so many wonderful ways. That if he wants, he can save him. If he wants, he can kill him. Either way, he's not afraid, because a devotee is Narayana Parayana. He's always in that trance of meditating and surrender. It's called Narayana Parayana, means a self-surrender devotee. So he was always conscious of that. So this actually brings us to the first principle of spiritual life. According to Rupa Goswami, he described this in the second chapter of Nectar of Devotion. So do you know what the first principle of spiritual life is? Anyone? It says right in this purport that always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Prabhupada describes that in the middle of the second chapter. That this is the first principle of Krishna consciousness. Always remember Krishna and never forget. So, you know, there is always the opposite. Always remember and never forget. So therefore, you know, with this and with these purports here, these two purports, between the two purports, there are three principles. There are two of three principles described by which a devotee lived by. One principle in the first purport, and the second principle is described in the second purport. The third principle is not very much directly indicated here, but we can talk about it a little bit anyway. So, these three principles of a devotee's life is one, bhakti shakti, second, priti lakshana, and third, dakshata. So these three again, bhakti shakti, priti lakshana, and dakshata. So bhakti shakti means that one is empowered by the Lord, and one understands that everything he has, all his spiritual strength, is not from his own, but it comes due to the will and the mercy of the Lord and his devotees. Just like in the first canto, we just not too long read it in the 15th chapter, 5th verse. This is when Arjuna came back from the war, and the entire Indraprastha was all bad omens. So Krishna didn't want. Maharaj Yudhisthira was wondering what's going on, but he would not accept the final thought that Krishna had actually left his planet. So he was questioning Arjuna in every way, shape, and form. All the while Arjuna was silent. And finally Arjuna said in the fifth verse of the 15th chapter, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who treated me exactly like an intimate friend, has left me alone. Thus my astounding powers, which astounded even the demigods and the denizens of heaven, is no longer with me. So there Arjuna understood that all the strength and power and energy and support and enthusiasm that he had was all due to the mercy of the Supreme Personality of God. So this principle is called Bhakti Shakti, that the power for Bhakti comes not from our own, but from the source of devotees and the Supreme Lord. Just like we sing every morning, Chakudana Diva Jay, Janme Janme Prabhu Sev, Divigyan Vridi Prakasita. That this, by the mercy of the spiritual master, we get this Divigyan, this divine knowledge. It doesn't come from our own. And then Prema Bhakti Jahavate Avida Vinasa Jate. That by him, ignorance is destroyed, avidya. And he gave us Prema. Prema Bhakti Jahaite. So this is the quality, this is the meaning of Bhakti Shakti, that the devotee understands that all his support and energy is not from his own accord, but it came from the spiritual authorities. So this Bhakti Shakti is described in this second purport here. that Maharaj Parikshit is recognizing the Lord, that he's living by the mercy of the Lord, that he's always surrendered unto the Lord. And this is what is called Narayana Parayana, self-surrender, because you're always conscious. Like Srila Prabhupada was always conscious, he'd always say that whatever I'm doing is simply the mercy of my Guru Maharaj. He never take any credit for himself. He never. So he always relates that whatever power he has, whatever Shakti, whatever legacy Srila Prabhupada is exhibiting, is all come through the mercy of his authority. So like that it goes up the line. So also to that plan, when a devotee or when a great personality leaves this planet, before they leave, they will leave behind a trace of legacy. So here, Maharaj Parikshit is about to do that by leaving this trace of legacy in the form of a Srimad Bhagavatam. He allowed himself to be used by the Lord in whatever way, shape, or form the Lord wants him to be used. And before he leaves, then he's going to leave this legacy. Similarly to the Prabhupada, towards the last, what did he say? He said, I've given you everything. Everything is in my books. If you only stick with that, there's nothing to fear. He has given us everything. So before he left, he did that. When I say leave, I mean physically. Prabhupada is always present within the books and his instructions. So this is the first principle of Bhakti Shakti, that the devotees infuse by the mercy of the other devotees, the Vaishnavas, the Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. He's being infused with, and this is the gist of it, of the second purport. And then you have the first purport describe how Sukha Goswami was inciting the sages of Naimisharanya. He was excited to describe the birth and activities and also the death of Maharaj Parikshit, being a great personality. And therefore, he was presenting himself, he was presenting this topic so that the sages can increase their desire to hear this topic of the Lord. So this principle is called Dakshakata, that the devotee is expert in creating an atmosphere so that they can preach Krishna consciousness. We've seen Prabhupada did that so many times, his whole life. Once somebody asked him, why are you going on these morning walks on the beach? And he said, oh, I'm doing this for my Western disciples because they're accustomed to go on walks and jogging on the beach and that sort of life. So he used that to engage in Krishna consciousness. Another time, Shyamasundar Prabhupada had tears in his eyes when he was telling his story. Before he joined the movement, he had some kind of a drug-related matter or something like that. So after he joined the movement, the law caught up with him, and he had to go to jail, to prison. So he told Prabhupada, I have to leave, I have to go to prison, I have to go to jail. So Prabhupada said, oh, don't worry about it. Krishna was born in jail. What's the big deal? So then afterwards, as he was leaving, then Prabhupada said, oh, what's wrong? Why you have to go to jail? He said, because I was, I had some involvement dealing with some drugs. Prabhupada said, oh, that's a big deal. I was also a drug dealer. Because Prabhupada is a pharmacist. He was dealing with pharmaceutical drugs. But in that way, he trapped the devotees. He trapped, everyone around him in such a loving way. He turned things around to make it favorable. So this principle of expertise is called Dakshakata, which is described here. That Sutta Goswami was inciting the sages to be interested in this topic of Krishna Katha. So that's the principle. That's what devotees are looking to do. Use their expertise
once there was one Indian couple, Prabhupada's disciples. They were doing wonderful services running this restaurant. I believe it was in Hawaii, I'm not sure. And then next thing, they got involved with some drugs and illegal stuff. And so Prabhupada came. And his other leaders said, you know, they have to go, they have to get out of here. So when Prabhupada came, Prabhupada told this couple, said, you know, continue doing your service, continue your management and so forth. And some of the sannyasis and our disciples saying, oh, Prabhupada, you don't know how what horrible things he's doing with his drugs and this and that. And they keep repeating, as though Prabhupada didn't know. Till at one point, Prabhupada said, if you're envious, then you can leave alone. And then Prabhupada engaged. He gave them back the service, engaged, knowing full well what their character background was at the present time. And immediately, upon the sanction and they take up that service, they immediately rectify all their situation. So that's another example of being very expert. Prabhupada knew how to trap everyone, how to engage everyone in service. Even Jayananda Prabhu, there are so many stories of him engaging. Once when he was filling the rat cart in, I think it was San Francisco, he saw this couple of hippies passing by, and they were just one tall one with long hair. He called him and said, hey, can you hold a nail for this wood? The guy said, oh yeah, okay. What's the big deal, just hold a nail. It'll just take, you know, a minute. So he took the nail and hold it on the wood. And then Jayananda Prabhu had the hammer in his hand. He said, oh, can you hammer this nail into this wood? He said, okay, no big deal. This won't disturb, you know, whatever we're doing. We're going on our whatever walk. And he took the nail and he hammered the nail into the wood. He said, okay, can you do a few more? And next thing you know, he spent the next 24 hours engaging him. That course is now Japataka Swami. So, yeah. So that's expertise. How you engage people in Krishna service. So this principle is called Dakshatara. So then there's a third principle of Priti Lakshana. This is described by Rupa Goswami also in the Nectar of Instruction. Priti Lakshana is the loving reciprocation relationship among devotees. Actually, let me tell you something about this Nectar of Instruction. A few years ago in London, devotees were distributing small packets of books, 3 or 4 or 5 small books. And one of them, like Perfection of Yoga, you know, like that, and one of them was this Nectar of Instruction. So there is a company in England, their business is to analyze other businesses and organizations. They would analyze their products and services, and then they would write a report, make a public statement as to which of their products or services is best suited for society at large. So lo and behold, they got a hold of the devotees' business of book distribution. So they took these few books and they studied them thoroughly, and then they present their report. They said of these products, what these Hare Krishnas are presenting, this book, the Nectar of Instruction, is most suited and best suited for humanity at large. Wow. So that's history, that statement is there. So anyway, so this Priti Lakshana of the loving relationship, the loving reciprocation with devotees, is also a principle of a devotee. So, like many times, you can preach all you want to somebody new coming, like somebody coming to the temple. You can preach them, you can explain. But one thing that is very important to them is that they would watch and see how we behave with each other. Think about it, that for a moment. They would look and see how we behave with each other.
And that would be more of an instruction to them than the instruction that you are giving them. Literally. So, this reciprocation would be there, you know, so it has to be there. So devotees, the way they reciprocate, the way they share with each other, the way they accept instructions, they give instructions, they befriend each other. So this pretty lakshanas, this principle is there. It's not described here, but it's this is one of the things that is there. So these principles are very essential in our spiritual life. And two of them is described here. Maharaj Pariksit is able to relish and appreciate these activities through these principles. And you understand that not a blade of grass moves without the sanction of the Lord. That everything that happens is by the will of the Lord. And he as a devotee has to act in such a way so he doesn't disturb that will. So, like this, when this situation is starting up, then he knows fully how to behave and act. So, and he's able to relish in his remembrance in this manifested feature that he's manifesting as Narayana Parayana. Says, the devotee never goes against the will of the Lord. Anything sent by God is a blessing for the devotee. Therefore, Maharaj Pariksit was never afraid of nor bewildered by such things. That is a sign of a pure devotee of the Lord. So, this is the important principle that a devotee lives by. He acts as much as he can within his ability to develop his or her Krishna consciousness and to help others. At the same time, they are very conscious not to go against the will of the Lord. Of course, that doesn't mean that if the Lord doesn't directly instruct them that they wouldn't perform. Like in the Jagai Marai pastime, Lord Chaitanya never really encouraged Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur to go and risk their lives preaching to these drunkards. But they knew the desire of the Lord that he wants everyone to get the mercy of Krishna. So therefore, they approach and they risk. So a devotee does like that. They risk their lives to facilitate the desire of the Lord. At their own risk, not that the Lord is pushing them to do so. But in so doing, the Lord lovingly reciprocates through appreciation of how much sacrifices the devotee makes. Sometimes it appears as though a devotee does insane things. Like many times I've heard people say, oh, these are Christians and crazy people. As they would do things that only the devotees would do. We have so many pastimes and Prabhupada, so many, like, when he was showering in the airport bathroom, in the restroom, or when he would sit out on the sidewalk and the devotees would massage him and others would be envious, or he would risk, even his old age, he would risk going out to preach, going out to do everything possible to spread Krishna consciousness. Sometimes people think that, okay, they're acting without intelligence. Eventually the Prabhupada sat next to his Guru Maharaj when he first met him for a few occasions. The other devotees criticized him that fools go where intelligent men fail to tread. That they think he was foolish to go and sit next to his Guru Maharaj like that. Actually, there's one story he tells in Trinidad. There was this one skinny guy, just short, skinny, just weighed 100 pounds.
But Trinidad is like a small place, small island. And his business in those days, there were no televisions, only the radio. So his business was always to, he would listen to the radio, and anyone in need, he would climb on his bicycle and ride over to help. So one day there's a fire with a two-story building, and this lady was trapped, the entire downstairs was engulfed with fire, and the lady was trapped upstairs on the second floor. So then he went there, there were six other firefighters, and him, make seven, they were trying to figure out how to get this lady down, how to save her. So they told the lady that, look, just jump through the window, and they're gonna catch her. You know, the seven of them would put their hands and catch her, so she would be safe. So the lady was just sticking her head, so what they were seeing was only the head of the lady. But when the lady broke the window and started jumping through, they saw it was this big fat lady. And the six other firefighters said, oh no, we're not catching her, and they ran away. But this one skinny guy, he stood there, and the lady fell on him, crushed his bones, he was hospitalized for 6 weeks. But he saved the lady. So at the end of that 6 weeks, the fire department came and gave him a big plaque. They gave him this big plaque, and the big plaque marked bravery beyond intelligence. So sometimes people think that the bodies are like that. Like they would do things that appears not to be safe to them. But they're that brave. Prabhupada risked every single thing. And he was very expert, this daksha to have, to give everyone an opportunity. He even said that he created the good fortune of the devotees. Or sometimes he would program so that they know what questions to ask, like what Sutta Goswami is doing here. He's setting the scene so that they can ask some particular questions so that the Lord's glory can be manifested. So I'd like to stop here with these few thoughts. If anyone has any questions or comments or addition, we can do so. So I see that there's no questions. We can stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.